Today is the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. I should just mention that I sprained my ankle, I had Achilles tendonitis, and so you haven't seen me for a while. I've been off my feet, so to heal that. There will be the blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. We will not have benediction this evening. The cleaning of the chapel will be this Monday after the 8:30 Mass. And we want to thank those who helped remove the wood logs from the landscape. The feasts for this week, today is the feast of the Seven Holy Brothers and Saints Rufina and Secunda. Tomorrow is the feast of St. Pius I, one of the early popes. Tuesday is the feast of St. John Gualbert. Thursday is the feast of St. Bonaventure. Friday is the feast of St. Henry. And Saturday is the commemoration of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And we will use the votive mass of that feast of Our Lady because, of course, it is the patronal feast day of the Carmelite sisters. So we have the blessing of articles, no benediction, cleaning the chapel on Monday. We're thanking everyone. Sad to lose the trees. But as soon as they finished, they sent in a new crew, and they're putting in fiber optics, which I'm told will improve our use of the internet. Online school. God has his ways. And, of course, the feast. I cannot go into the feast days. Great feasts. And then Saturday is Our Lady of Mount Carmel. So this is an announcement updating everyone on the school program. We still need, we're happy about the response, by the way, but we know that today is the day that the papers are coming in, so we don't have all of the results yet. So we do need proctors to oversee the children during these school days. And just so you understand, it's to do a full day is 8 hours if you want to proctor for one whole day. If you only can do half a day, then it's 4 hours. Roughly, I think, 8:30 to 12:30, or you could have 12:30 to 4:30, whatever fits your own schedule. Parents who enroll their children in the school must motivate them at home. You must show interest in them and their studies. The parents must be present for them. This school is not a replacement for the parents' effort. The priests and seminarians are the teachers of the religion class only. For the rest of the classes, the children have access to the Seton School program through that internet connection. The children will attend daily Mass, bring their daily missal for Mass, and carry their rosary to school. Children will bring food and beverage for lunch and also for snacks during the day if necessary. The starting date for the school prayer program is still to be announced. The forms for the school program, which includes the enrollment, being a proctor, and for donations, are in the vestibule under the bulletin board, so you can still fill those out. Please turn in the forms today if possible, since we need to make plans for the children attending the school. If necessary, take the time to fill out the form after Mass and give it to one of the priests or seminarians today. We urge you to make every effort and sacrifice to be a part of and assist us in this school prayer program to save our children. Our. In these perilous times in which there are so many dangers to their souls, especially in the public schools, we have seen so many young people abandon their Catholic faith by being exposed to paganism of the public schools and media. And of course, anyone can contact us at any time if you have any questions. So we still need proctors, half day, full day. We're looking at 3 days a week. In practice, we'll see if we have to go to 4 days. The parents are not giving up their responsibility as primary teachers of their children. In fact, it's giving you a bigger role. You don't leave them in the hands of the pagans. The priests and the seminaries will take care of the religion classes. Children will come for the Mass, bring their missals and rosary. They'll bring their own lunch and snacks if they want. Starting date will announce. The forms, those papers we got last week, are still available to fill out. And we urge everyone to do everything possible to save these children and contact us anytime. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Peter's first epistle. Beloved, be all like-minded in prayer, compassionate, lovers of the brethren, merciful, reserved, humble, not rendering evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but contrariwise blessing. For unto this were you called, that you might inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek after peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the just, and his ears unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you suffer anything for justice' sake, blessed are you. So have no fear of their fear, and do not be troubled, but hallow the Lord Christ in your hearts. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 5, verses 20 to 24. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Unless your justice exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the ancients, 'Thou shalt not kill,' and that whoever shall kill shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be liable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, 'Thou fool,' shall be liable to the fire of Gehenna. Therefore, if thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has anything against thee, leave thy gift before the altar, and go first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. So, we are well into the season of Pentecost, where we are on the road to sanctity. That's what this is all about. And so, going back as the gospel is doing, taking us back to the fifth chapter of St. Matthew's gospel, this is verse 20. So what has already happened? It says, our Lord sat down on this mount. Oh, the Sermon on the Mount is what took place. He sat down and it says, he raised his eyes to look at the people and close to him, his apostles. And he began to say, blessed are the poor in spirit. He laid out the constitution, not of a country, but of a kingdom in heaven, and how to get there. And he gave us the eight Beatitudes. I'm pointing to them, the first words of them on these plaques, recalling to your mind what this chapel in its structure is showing us, the Holy Ghost descending on the church and infusing grace so that we can work out the Beatitudes. So that's what's happening in this gospel. And after he lays out this great constitution showing where we're heading, then he begins to dismantle the incorrect interpretation that the scribes and Pharisees had done to the commandments. And so he could pick some others. That's not what's highlighted in today's sermon, because he goes on to do the sixth commandment right after this. But he picks the fifth commandment first: thou shalt not kill. And our Lord goes on to explain that it means more than just don't kill somebody else. And he gives us 3 degrees. If you just have something against your neighbor, you are subject to the judgment. If you say something evil about your neighbor, then that punishment is, now you go to the council. And then if you actually call him a fool, if you insult your neighbor, you haven't killed him. He says, you are subject to the fires of Gehenna. Our understanding for the word of hell. And in the epistle, St. Peter, our first pope, teaching us, he is telling us, particularly talking about insulting our neighbor, he's telling us in there, beware of the evil sins of the tongue. We think of detraction and calumny. And in today's world, these sins can have a tremendous reach beyond the time of our Lord, where you just speak to one person. Here you can text anything you want. You can destroy anyone you want. And how do you try and take that back? We can talk about somebody pulls open a pillowcase with feathers and the wind takes it. How do you go and collect back all of those feathers? Well, here's the internet. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. How do you fix that? We cannot go through all the examples. I'm just thinking right now, just a couple of weeks ago, hearing lies about this community in a completely different part of the country from years ago, because someone had malicious words to say and said it on the internet. So, St. Augustine tells us in commenting on the epistle and this Sunday, which is one of fraternal charity, because we show our 2 great commandments, love God with everything we are, and love our neighbor as ourselves, so that the way we act towards our neighbor is showing us what we really act, how we act towards God. If you want to know how much you really love God, see how you are with your neighbor. But St. Augustine says, we're all together on this cart. And he says, each of us is a clay vessel being brought to heaven. And he said, when these clay vessels are really close together, when they get jostled, they can break each other. And he says, that's when we're too brittle. We have no forbearance. We cannot tolerate the least incursion on us from our neighbor. And he says, we have to just separate, move these vessels, give them a little distance so that they jostle, they don't bang each other. He says, that's what charity does. It puts some insulation between us and our neighbor, where we're able to absorb and not break. It's very easy, by the way, to remember Because it's easy. We're very sensitive to anything that happens to us. Very sensitive. All we have to do is put the shoe on the other foot and think, what are we like to others? How much do they have to put up with what we're like? And this is all so important that our Lord actually says at the end of this account that your charity towards one another is so important that if you are at the altar worshiping me, leave your gift there and go and fix things with your brother first. So he puts aside worship of God to get fraternal charity in place. But you might remember the very end where he says, and then come and offer your gift. Doesn't mean you're exonerated, just put it off. Now, we're just talking about the Epistle and the Gospel. I see the picture of St. Pius X there. I don't know if you remember this, when he went through the catechism in the masses. That was because of an instruction he gave. He gave out a motu proprio just on teaching the catechism, which he did as Pope every Sunday. Can you believe it? He would just extemporaneously, I've seen the photo of him just coming outside the church. He wasn't in the church. He just came out. All the people gathering around him, and here's the Pope teaching the catechism. And one of the things he said, which this reminds me of, he said, it's such a terrible situation, this is 100 years ago, when the priests are called to the deathbed of somebody, and the priest is trying at the last moments to teach the person the basics of the catechism to prepare them for death. That's good. Okay, that's good. But he's lamenting that what he could be doing at that moment is elevating a holy soul to offer his life as our Lord on the cross to gain supernatural glory in heaven. That's what he's seeing the difference between. And that's what I'm seeing right here because I gave the Epistle and Gospel. This Mass, of course, all the Masses have this, but this I'm just going to touch on Psalm 26. That's the introit. That's the communion verse. One thing I ask of the Lord, this I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And of course, we heard Psalm 26 last Sunday in the introit, starting differently. The Lord is my light and my salvation. I have nothing to fear. This was composed, of course, by David at a very critical point in his life when he was being hunted by Saul. And he was in Hebron. He was anointed king in Hebron, and he had to hide for years. And he said, I see no end of this crisis for me. It's all blackness for me. But you are my light and my salvation, and I have nothing to fear. That's what we're being told. And in the collect, it says, you have prepared tremendous things for us, invisible gifts in heaven, that we have to love you in all things and above all things, all visible things. What is that collect praying for? It's praying for the gift of knowledge. The gift of seeing the entire created world and realizing and seeing who the Creator is. And more than who the Creator is, who our Father is. So we use these things of the world through the gift of knowledge to reach heaven. The fear of the Lord, as the Proverbs tell us, or Psalms, is the beginning of wisdom. All I'm doing is throwing out the words. because that's telling us all about the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost, telling us all about the virtues, faith, hope, and charity, the corresponding gifts to those, the Beatitudes. This is the constitution of the Christian life, that I could and should be talking about. As St. Pius X said, on their deathbed, telling them about heaven and the glories of heaven, not having to explain the details of the catechism. That's what we could be doing. I only hold it up as the jewel for what we should reach for. We have to do the basics. And I'm going to take off from Gehenna, the term our Lord used for Gehenna. Gehenna was on the southern part of Jerusalem, the city, and it became a dump. King Josias designated this as the city dump, where all the garbage went, where they had to burn things, they burned up things, and that's why, you see, it became in their minds, because things were always burning in this dump. Eternal fire. Now you know why Gehenna became their term for hell. Gehenna was a place, the Valley of Hinnom, just where there was fire always burning, because they were always burning the garbage. Why did King Josias do that? Because he wanted everyone to recognize this place as a place for evil and bad things. Why? Because the primitive inhabitants of Jerusalem used to offer their children in sacrifice to Moloch. So now I'm going away from the Mass and the jewel. I'm going down to the nitty-gritty. I'm going to make a prediction. In a year from now, there will be just as many, many innocent children murdered before they're born. Despite what other legal things have been done recently. I'm making that prediction. Offerings to Moloch. I want to expand on that. Even as we hear Catholic commentators admittedly saying there are no exceptions, but they keep repeating the lie. Rape, incest, life of the mother. There are not any exceptions. Thou shalt not kill. No one should walk away from here thinking there are any exceptions. And I can vote for anyone who wants to, for exception, kill anyone. Now, we all agree on that, sorry. I'm speaking to the people outside the doors. But with the vehemence that you understand what's going on. Now let's look at this a little bit, because you understand, as Catholics, that our struggle is not with flesh and blood. Our struggle is with principalities and powers. St. Paul told us, the Holy Ghost. We're fighting angelic natures, fallen but angelic. And they hate God. We are all just pawns in the game on the chessboard. The devil is just playing with all of us. He cares not one iota about us. All he cares about is hurting God, depriving God of his created beings getting to heaven. All of those children born, destroyed before their birth, cannot go to heaven. Got it? That's what's in the intellect of the devil. I deprive God of 1 million souls a year in this country. But that's not all. Because the devil is sterile. He is so narcissistic. He hates everything. He even hates himself. God is great. God is good. God gives forth goodness. Why does he create? To share forth his goodness. The devil can't do that. And also because of his nature, he is not all-powerful. So he cannot create life. Only God can. So everything that's going on is an attempt by the devil to take away God's giving life. So we see it when he murders. The devil murders the innocent. We see it when he frustrates the act of procreation in all the ways he does it. When he promotes unnatural vice. When he promotes transgenderism and transhumanism. And all the rest of the things that it's doing. What is he ultimately doing? Frustrating God's creation of life. That's what's going on. So we're in a battle against superior forces, naturally speaking. Now, I want to make a little comment about the school because it has been a tremendous response. We don't have all the results yet. Actually, I don't even know if we have half the results yet, so we'll see. But so far, it's been a tremendous response, and everyone will be blessed for saving our children. So I want to emphasize a couple of points. You've already heard a couple of priests talk the last couple of Sundays, so I need not go into things more than what they've said. But I just want to give a little nuance, different aspect. You already understand that Father for 49 years has said we're not going to have a school. I was talking to a young priest and nun recently and mentioned the school. They were so impressed. How old is this priest? They asked. Anybody at that age is, we're retired, taking it easy. Here's a person that's changing the way he thinks for the good of our children. And for the last 6 weeks, every dinner we sit down to, if we don't talk about it all the time, we are talking about it to some degree. Meeting all the time, everyone's doing something, Father's guiding the whole thing. It's on my conscience. You heard him say it. I want you to know why, if this is so important, and why did you know it's so important for all these years, why did you not do it all these years? Because without the hierarchical support that normally would be there for a parish and a priest and to form a school, it's quicksand. If you're familiar at all with parent-teacher associations, if you're at all familiar with teachers, I just talked to a couple of teachers a couple of weeks ago. One had just begun, first year. All enthusiasm. One, having been doing it for 5 years, I had talked to him 5 years ago. He had enthusiasm. Now, how are you doing? I've already quit. I quit in May. So without a strong support, Father wisely understood, how can I can't cause friction in the group over a school. What is the word advice to everybody who's making great efforts and stuff? Make sure that we're all 100% behind the program and Father. We're all in this together, but I have to tell you something. If anything comes that disturbs him, the way I was talking about abortion, you'll see that type of answer. Because if he puts himself out like that, and when I say puts himself out, not just that, you know, for the last 6 weeks, day in, day out, everything else on hold, religion class, seminarians, you're going to teach religion class. Oh, okay. Can we do it? With all our own studies and all the work we have to do? Can we do it? Don't worry. I will make sure you can do it. I heard that in the meeting. Don't worry. It's 100% on this side. And we can't go through. Obviously, there's a lot to do to get something like this off the ground. We've been told something like this takes a year or two to set up. We're doing it in weeks. And we're anticipating, as talking to all the experts, the people who started in this type of thing 40 years ago when it was against the law. So where should we expect problems? Well, usually it's going to be from a complaining neighbor. Well, we've been here a long time. Okay, tell me more. We have a traditional mass. That's where you're going to have problems. You're going to have it from your local bishop. Which we already know because, 10 years ago, we didn't even do it, but there was an effort to have a school. And immediately, attack. Attack. Can't go through all the details, but just a few years ago, there was a serious attack. Never got as far as it could have. God put it out, the fire. But I'll just say, personally, I thought the whole thing was going to be destroyed. This chapel and everything, that's what I thought. Or that's what I feared. But God is protecting. So, despite all that, Father doesn't care. But we understand. We know what the stakes are. And we can't have anything behind Father deflecting from that. And we know that's what everyone else thinks. And finally, because I'm already over time on my own thing, I just want to say this. I did a little comparison of 50 years ago schooling. Talk about today. I already outlined what's going on today, just throwing out terms like transgenderism and transhumanism and everything else. I think that tells us where our education system is, where we have the unnatural. I don't even like using their words, by the way. Maybe you're noticing I'm using euphemisms. Because we've been so desensitized that we use their words. Children use their words. They don't even know. Words like these things were never even said in public years ago. That's how much they've desensitized us. So I need not really go into what's going on in today's schools. You probably know better than I do. How the models of education are themselves perverts. We're going to save the children from that. The parents won't have to send them to perverted schools anymore. But looking back, say, 50 years, taking a look in a particular study of a school back then. So the good old days, maybe some of us remember them. Just taking a particular class and looking at the people who were in some of the things that we all admire. First of all, abortion had just come out, and high school girls having abortions in a public school, most percentage-wise, most of them were Catholics in a not predominantly Catholic area. Well, let's take a look at the great education, the great science, the sports, the theater. And looking at this particular study, how this one school program of arts and stuff even has produced people that have gone on to Hollywood, other people who have gone to New York City to work in the theater there. And looking at one of the students, the star of that year's play. What happened to that? The reason why I'm taking this 50 year, because it's a study. We can look at what did that great education 50 years ago, which was better than today, where you have the perverts sitting up and teaching them, and we send them there. Not anymore, though. So it's got to be worse. But here we have an actual test case. Here we go. They produce people that go to Hollywood, people that work in the theater and everything else. What about the star of that senior class play? What happened to her? Don't know exactly what caused it, but went to the bridge and just jumped off. That's what all of that did for her. How about the great mathematician, scientist, MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, right at the top, becomes a professor teaching at Johns Hopkins, beloved of his students, dies in his late 50s. And what happened for his funeral? Plant a tree. Our little catechism teaches us, whatever, third chapter. Who is smarter? The child who can tell us who God is, or the atheistic professor who doesn't? That's what his great education did. That's what it got him. And what about the great sports hero? Great baseball player, fullback, quarterback and fullback. He did it all. Elected to the Hall of Fame, the Sports Hall of Fame for that area. And then in his early 50s, drops dead. And what's the story for him? Plant a tree. All right, I am way over the time I wanted. We never like to give all the bad stuff without some kind of a, what is the pro-action here? The epistle tells us, turn away from evil. Did you hear St. Peter? Turn away from evil and do good. So here we've outlined in a lot of detail all the evil we want to turn away from. What is the good? It's to all the parents, but especially to fathers, because I heard a grandmother recently talking about the relative, wasn't her immediate feeling, but relative, the child, 13 in school, father tells him, you know, if you hear anything about sex education in your class, just ask to be excused. That's what happened. Father Stinky Head saw something. And next day the kid gets called in. Oh, Catholic school, by the way. Quotation marks around that. And priest and principal. Why did you do that? My father said. Okay. We don't, eighth grade, 8 years in the same school, graduation coming up in a couple of months. We don't know if you're going to be able to graduate with your class. See, the bullies, they've had a lot of practice. These bullies that call themselves clerics of the church. And the grandmother saying, how brave that boy was to do that at 13. And her hearing the response, no bravery. The father gave him confidence to do the right thing. I think of an old commercial from the 50s, you may know, the little three-year-old and the father, it's an ad, and they're walking into the beautiful park and everything, and everything the father does, the little boy is looking up and copying, the father swings his arms and everything, and then the father slides his back along the tree to sit down, and the boy does the same thing, and I don't think there's really any sound, you're just watching this. And the boy's just doing everything the father's doing, and then the father takes out a pack of cigarettes. And he puts it down, and then you see the boy looking at the pack of cigarettes, just like he's always been doing. And then it's the commercial ends, American Cancer Society. That's powerful. I'm telling you a thing from, 50 years ago? Maybe some of you remember it. They're watching us all the time. The fathers, you are the mothers too. But the you see, I'm just telling these stories here. And the other priests can tell amazing stories of what they've seen or heard. I told you some time ago about the late 50s-year-old man telling me when he was a little boy, him saying to his father, Dad, they hate you for trying to hold on to the faith. If you remember that story. And the father is just telling the third grader, you know, telling him, sometimes we have to stand up no matter what the cost is. And so so the fathers have to do that. If you just are unselfish, you're in. That's all you got to do. Always think of other, and you'll be fine. No matter what the sacrifice, I'm always there for whatever need our children need. And last thing of all, and this is, I've really gone, everybody, carry and say the rosary every day. Receive the sacraments as often as possible. Say your prayers, morning and night prayers, and avoid the occasion of sin. And I'm telling you, the Blessed Mother, it's like a chain. The rosary is a chain. We hold on to this side, and the Blessed Mother is just pulling us gradually to heaven. May God bless you.